Tov, we're continuing learning together the book Gan Emunah, the Garden of Faith by Rav Shalom Arush, learning together in the Hebrew version of the book, and we're up to a chapter dealing with the importance of prayer. The importance of prayer for Emunah, the two things come together. A person can't have Emunah without prayer, because prayer is the practical manifestation of your Emunah. If you have Emunah, you pray to Hashem, you speak to Him, you talk to Him, you share with Hashem all your thoughts. Why? Because you know that Hashem is real. Hashem is here, right now. Hashem is right here, right now. Right here, right now, with me. All the time, right here, right now. Hashem is with me. Once I know that, so, and life's different, like we learned in the Shulchan Aruch. The first sip of the Shulchan Aruch is on the test today. Why do we say Shaviti Hashem Kenegdi Tamid? So the person knows that Hashem is there with him always. Even if I'm alone, Hashem is there with me. That's why Shaviti Hashem Kenegdi Tamid. We have to remember it always that Hashem is there with me. That is our Emunah. If I remember that, then I am going to speak to Him. He's there with me. Be foolish not to, but I'm going to ignore you. It's here. For me to ignore the fact. If your father was sitting there in the room with you, you just ignore him the whole time? Ignore the fact that he's sitting there? Oh, speak to him. Especially if he can help you. And Hashem can help us. So we said, yeah, so we've been talking about the fact that prayer, the importance of prayer and the power of prayer, that prayer can do anything, it can achieve anything. So Rav Arush points out here, what we've just been talking about is in a case where a person is not praying something that's against Hashem's will. We said the prayer can do anything and that prayer will always be heard. Just a question of amount. So, Rabbi Arush is clarifying that you shouldn't pray anything against Hashem's will. Why? Because Hashem doesn't have to accept prayers that go against His will. Right? A person can't pray for something that is against Hashem's will and expect that Hashem is going to be happy with it. And it can even lead to Hashem being angry with the person. What's this like? This is similar to a child that asks from his father, give me 100,000 shekels. And the father asks him, what are you going to use the money for? So the child answers, in order to buy a tractor. What do you want a tractor for? Says the father. To destroy the house. Right? Or to bring into the house a lot of garbage and to filthy up the house. So the father doesn't have to agree with the son and give him the money to buy the tractor if he's going to do that. So that's the mashal. Hashem doesn't have to agree with our prayers. That's going to really mess us up. It's going to mess up our house, his house, who's ever, right? Hashem, please give me money to buy a smartphone. Really not going to cut the mustard upstairs, etc. For an example, Kumuma, of course. Not only will a father like this not agree to his son and not give him what he's asking for, but he's going to be angry on him for his great chutzpah. So too, a person that asks from Hashem to fulfill his ta'avot. Right, to fulfill his lusts and desires. Right, it's not a good thing to ask Hashem to fulfill our lusts and desires. Right, I shouldn't pray to Hashem that He sends me lots and lots of chocolate ice cream. It's not a good thing.
Is it because chocolate is too specific? Did you say ask for ice cream?
No, like ta'avot. That's an example of ta'avot. Ice cream. You've been sarcastic.
It's being censored.
I take every one of their words.
The whole Shabbos, I was bringing up I believe it was you who talked about the mikvah. Was it my mistake? Did you speak about mikvah in this class? About dropping something in the mikvah?
Don't think so.
So could you drop a towel in the mikvah on Shabbos?
That was the 1:30 class.
So you have to have 10 people to help you there. Right?
What?
You drop a towel if a towel gets wet, let's say in the mikvah you gave example,
right.
You can't just take it out yourself because you may come to squeeze it. But if you have 10 men that are there to all do it together,
then
they'll all remind you one another. You can't simulacha, you can't squeeze on Shabbos.
Nice.
Yes, I was going over that.
So if we ask for things that are not good for us, like to fulfill our lusts and desires, so Hashem doesn't have to listen to those prayers. And in fact, not only does he not listen, he can also cause Hashem to be very angry. But a person whose kavanah is to come to closer to Hashem, to know Hashem, his prayers are prayers that build the world and cause the world to be nicer, then certainly Hashem is very happy with his prayers and he will receive them. And if Hashem doesn't fulfill his request immediately, it's only on account of the fact that he desires more prayers from this person. And also too, because each thing has a certain limit, a price limit that we said, of a number of prayers that a person needs to pray in order to receive it. Right, so the thing might have a limit itself, or Hashem wants more prayers out of the individual. But the more prayers that we pray, the better for us. We are building bigger vessels. If we get it initially, we don't get so much. I heard from Abdul, told it two years ago, maybe he said it again since, but for those who weren't in the class at the time, there's a mashal. I don't know if you may have already heard it, because he may have mentioned it again. It's a very nice mashal. There's a guy who the king wants to reward one of his loyal servants. So what does he do? He gives him a letter, and the letter says, "You're entitled to go into the king's treasury and take whatever you want." He's very happy. Takes the letter and he goes down, walks over to the king's treasury, huge building, guards at the front. He goes to one of the guards and he shows him the letter. Guard reads the letter, sees that it's been signed by the king. So it's fine, off you go. So he goes into the building. And in the building, he opens the door of the great treasury and he sees gold and diamonds and silver and precious jewels filling the whole place. And he's a poor man. He's not used to seeing such riches. So he goes in and looks, what should I take? So he notices, I forgot to mention that on the letter, that he has an hour. He's got an hour to spend in the treasury choosing what he wants. He looks down and he says, I've got plenty of time. I'll have a look around and see what's good. Anyway, after 5-10 minutes of looking around, he decides, I'm going to take gold. Gold is good. So he takes his, I haven't got any vessel, I haven't got anything to put it in. So he's got a begging cup. This guy was a beggar. So he takes his begging cup out and he fills it to the top with gold coins. Carefully comes out of the treasury and walks towards the gate. As he gets towards the gate, the guard sees him and looks at him, starts laughing, and slaps him on the back. The guy falls over and all the coins spill out of his cup. So he starts to scrabble around trying to pick him up. And the guard says, nah, leave them, leave them. He's like, what do you mean leave them? He said, no, leave them. So the beggar stands up, what can he do? But he looks at his watch and he sees he's still got time left. He's got another 40 minutes from his time, so he's going to go back in and get some more. So he goes back in. He looks around, okay, what should I get this time? Well, maybe we'll get some diamonds. Diamonds look good. Fills up his cup with diamonds. Carefully walks out. Approaches the guard very gingerly. And again, the guard comes over to him, slaps him on the back, knocks him to the floor, and he spills it all out. He goes to try and pick them up. God says, no, leave them alone. Top, how long have I got left? Top, I'll go and get some. Goes back in, collects some more. Same thing happens on the way out again. Spills some more. God doesn't let him touch them. Goes back, does this a few times. Eventually, after going back and forward several times, the last time, and he's like looking at his watch, and like, time's up now. Please don't let the guard knock me, take away my coins. Anyway, he comes to the guard, approaches. Yet again, the guard smacks him and he falls down. So now the guy realizes he's lost his time. He's like, sits there and starts to cry. Oh, I've lost it all. God says to him, what are you crying for? He says, well, you've just taken away all my money. He said, no, I haven't. See on the floor. See there, the gold, the diamonds and jewels. Go and get a big box. Put it all in and take it home. What are you doing with a little cup? The God was the one who helped him. Sometimes when we ask, we go in our prayer to ask. We go in with a little cup. We go in with a small cup. And we say to Hashem, Hashem, please fill up my small cup. And Hashem can fill the small cup. But Hashem knows that he can give us a big box full. Just needs more prayers. But how do we get those prayers answered? By not getting the first one answered. When we don't get the first one answered, we get knocked down. I prayed for it. I prayed for Parnassa. You're right, I prayed for Parnassa. I prayed for Parnassa for 5 minutes, for 10 minutes. And nothing happened. So I got deflated. I came away with nothing. But I didn't really come away with nothing. I came away with 10 minutes of Parnassa prayer stored in the bag. Hashem didn't want me to cash in my chips at that point. Because 10 minutes of Parnassa prayer is going to buy me $10,000 of Parnassa. Hashem wants me to pick myself up. You're right, you didn't answer me, but I'm praying again. I'm not stopping. I'm going to pray again. I'm going to keep praying. And every time you don't answer me, I didn't get it, I'm going to pray again. Why? Because Hashem wants me to build a bigger and bigger vessel. Each time I pray for something, I get much stronger in it. Personally, physically, emotionally, whatever. Build myself up, but I also build up the prayers. The prayer is what creates a better vessel. Instead of making a vessel for something small from a cup, I'm making a vessel from a huge box. After I walk away having hit the magic total of now I've done 6 hours prayer. It's very easy to do 6 hours prayer. How easy it is to do 6 hours prayer? 1 minute of prayer every single day for a year. 1 minute. A prayer every day for a year is 6 hours. 6 hours worth. Only for 1 minute. Right, so it's going to take me a year, but what else am I going to do? Not doing anything else. That's just 1 minute. But it adds up. But I've got to keep doing it. If I do 3 days and I give up. So I did 3 minutes. Something. But it's not. Consistency. Hashem wants me to pray more. I create bigger vessels and I have to change myself. Lehit palel, a reflexive verb. Lehit palel is not for him. I'm praying for him. He doesn't need my prayers. It doesn't change Hashem. Hashem gets a lot of nachas out of it, but it changes me. Lehit palel. Every time I pray, I change myself. It's a reflexive verb. So Hashem sometimes doesn't answer us because he wants us to do more, to pray more. We're going to get the benefits from it. These details in Emunah and other details that we're going to explain in the future are lacking in many people. Therefore, they don't know the power that is in their hands, literally in their hands. Prayer is in their hands. And they're not successful in using the the power of their emunah in order to come close to Hashem and to fix their lives. Right? Hashem gives us everything we need to fix our lives and come close to Him. Right? When He created us each with our own specific problems and issues and difficulties. But whatever those problems and difficulties and issues are, they're exactly what we need to get close to Hashem. They're exactly what we need to succeed in life, to fulfill the tikkun that we have in this world. Right? If He didn't make me 6'5", then He doesn't want me to be an NBA player. That's fine. It's not my tikkun. Right? But if He did give me, I know, the ability to speak to small children, then maybe He wants me to be a kindergarten teacher, right? Because that is my tikkun. Right? And I'm more successful at that fulfilled than I would if I was Bill Gates and creating the next Microsoft. It's very nice, but it's not my tikkun. I'm here for my own tikkun. It doesn't matter what anyone else is doing. If my tikkun is to sweep the streets, fine. Why do I care? As long as I'm happy and I've got food to eat, I've got a wife and kids and whatever, what do I care now? I'm sweeping streets. Really? If that's my tikkun and I'm happy with it, yofi. That's because everyone else in society is saying that you have to dress like this, you have to have 4 cars, you have to go on holiday skiing. It's not my tikkun. Whatever I need for my tikkun, Hashem's given me. And He's giving me constantly. Right? It's not a one-time thing. Hashem is continually giving me my tikkun. Moment by moment. Each new person I meet, each new conversation I have, each new book I read, it's part of my tikkun. I have to be happy with what Hashem has put in front of me. I know this is my tikkun. Like we said, there were people that their munah it starts and ends with the understanding that Hashem is the creator of the world. Right? That's the limit of their emunah. They know that Hashem created the world and that's it. That's where they start and that's where they finish. Or they believe in a higher power that has influence, a hidden influence on their lives, but they don't connect their daily lives and all the details of their daily lives to hashkacha pratit, to individual personal supervision from Hashem. Meaning, that they disconnect the fact that all of their daily life is directly under the hashkacha of Hashem. Because all things in life, even simple matters, for example, when a child doesn't listen to his father, or a wife shouts at her husband, etc. All of these things, and more difficult things, for example, health issues or parnasa issues, everything needs to be connected to Amunah. Meaning what? That this is what Hashem wants. Right? That Hashem, whatever is happening to me, this is what Hashem wants right now. And every difficulty and lacking the person has, that person needs to speak to Hashem and to ask from Him that He gives him that, gives him to know what Hashem's will is in all the things that occur to him. Right? Everything that happens to us in our lives, our goal is to see Hashem in it. That's what it means to know Hashem. To know Hashem in all His ways. Hashem is speaking to us in all different ways. From the people we meet, to the books we read, to the thoughts we have in our head, to working on our character traits, learning. All the things that we deal with in life, they're all ways of knowing Hashem. If we see Hashem in all of those things, then we get to see more and more Hashem. And that's what He wants. He wants us to come to know Him. How do we come to know Him? Only through our experiences in life. Right? There's no book get, well, it's called the Torah, but there's no book that's Guide to Know Hashem, right? Hashem is the living, breathing God in the living, breathing world, right? He is in the world around us. He is the world around us. And therefore, his messages and what he's trying to teach us is in the world around us. Right? That is him speaking to us.
Yes. So when we say das, that would mean the wisdom to know.
That, in its simplest form, just means awareness. It just means awareness of its Hashem. To have that in its simplest form just means to know, on its simplest meaning, to know that's Hashem. When a person knows that something is Hashem, he has that. Right? Rav Arashon Shabbos said that a person who prays and prays for an end to his problems. If a guy has a problem, right, and the problem continues, said the thing is he's praying for the wrong thing. Rav Ari said he should really be praying for that. Should just be praying that Hashem opens his mind so he sees Hashem, he understands what's going on. Because without that, he's missing out on the main thing. To see Hashem in the matter is really, he said, the ikkar of prayer is just to pray for that. If we all had that, we wouldn't have any problems, because we'd just be seeing Hashem everywhere in everything, right? So it's a good practice to pray for that. It means to pray for emunah, in another word, right? But it's Hashem, help me see you. Help me see you in this difficulty. Help me know that this difficulty is only for my good, right? That this is good, and then I don't have a difficulty anymore. I have an interesting situation that I'm living with, but it's an interesting situation that I'm living with. It doesn't mean it's a difficulty. It means, right? When I see Hashem in it, and I know that it's for my own good, I can be happy with it, right? Because the ikkar really is just to be happy with our lives. Right, we're not in control. So, if we trust in our Father in heaven, Hashem, he's in control, he's doing everything. Trust in him that it's all good, so we don't have to worry. Right? Like a small kid. Small kid who's living in at home with very good, wonderful parents doesn't worry about what's going on. Doesn't worry about where his next meal's coming from. Doesn't worry about whether or not there's enough parnasa to put gas in the car, and right? Oh, Abba's going to take care of it all. Why do I need to be worrying? It's not my job. It's not such a far-off analogy, right? It doesn't look that way from our point of view, but it's not too dissimilar. The job is really to just try and be happy with our situation, know it's all from Hashem, right? And trust him that he's doing right by us, and whatever he's doing is good. Doesn't mean that we can't ask for things, right? We don't know if it's good for us. It's always good to preface my prayer with, Hashem, I'd really think that right now I need a new job. If that's good for me, I don't know. And if it's not good for me, then please show me why staying here in this job is actually pretty good. But otherwise, I'm going to try and be happy with what I have. None of these things are easy. Having a munah is not easy, but it's a question of advice. How we deal with life. Right? All the books of the Rav and all the books of Rabbi Nachman, their entire purpose is to help you and me deal with life. Eitzot. Right? Good advice. It's all about advice. Good advice. And we need all lots and lots of different advice for lots and lots of different situations. There's not just one advice that works all the time. Right, we need lots of advice, which is why we need to know all the books, right, and to learn as much as we can, and then we can deal with life through whatever happens. Sometimes I need to pray, sometimes I need to cry, sometimes I need to dance, sometimes I need to just go to sleep, right? Depends on the situation, but I need to have enough advice, good advice, to deal with life. Because life is tough, right? Dafka is tough, right? Especially now, right? Coming to the end of days, Zat Hashem, not long left. Who knows? And we know it's going to get harder and harder. Right? It doesn't get easier and easier. It gets right? It gets harder and harder. Right? In some ways, it's, life is easier. Materially, physically, it's all a lot easier. We live today better than the most poor individual. Not most poor, but even the poor individuals in society live much better than the kings of previous times. Hot water, a refrigerator, food.
Flush toilet.
Flush toilet, right?
Flu vaccinations.
But we don't realize that, so we're still all sad and depressed that we haven't got the latest smartphone, right? So it's simply a question of perspective, right? If we have the right perspective and we reinforce in ourselves constantly not to be swayed by the street and the crowd, right? To just stay close to Hashem. Right? These guys, these wonderful guys that you see in these books, right? They were completely content and happy, and they're not involved in the worries of the world. I was just thinking today, actually, right? It was raining, and it made me think that a few years ago, when I used to read newspapers, 10 years ago, whenever it was, right? So I used to be very worried about the level of the Kinneret, right? The rainfall in Israel. It's a big topic. Has there been enough rain? There hasn't been enough rain this year. What's going to be? What's the level of Kinneret at? Oh, it's dropped another 4 centimeters. Right? I used to be worried about that. Why on earth, I was thinking this morning, did I ever care to worry about, like, to add to my list of worries that I have to worry about the level of Kinneret? Like, I can do anything. Like, my worrying about the rainfall is going to do anything. It's just nonsense. I just need to serve Hashem and be happy with the way He puts in front of me and not worry about stuff that is not in my hands. And the more I know, the more I realize that more and more is not in my hands. And the more and more I don't need to worry about. As my dat increases, my knowledge of Hashem increases, my knowledge of Him in control increases, my worries decrease. I stop worrying about parnassah, I stop worrying about the bills, I stop worrying about whether my kids are going to make it home from school okay, because I know in every single one of these situations Hashem is running the shop. It's not me. So the more I see Hashem in the world, the more I know that Hashem is running the world, the happier life I have, less worries, the more I can focus on Hashem. And it's a cycle, the opposite of a vicious circle, the good version. Right? It's a spiral up.
It's a feedback, positive feedback loop.
Yeah, positive feedback loop. There we go. Yofi, exactly what I wanted to do. Right? Tov, anyway, we're out of time, so we'll finish there today and Baruch Hashem, Kerem Shema.